This is the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. We have assembled the world's finest sports and trivia dorks to prove once and for all that we are just as bad at this as we were at sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, sports trivia for those of us who rode the pine. I believe, Josh, you can confirm with me or not, this is episode 249.
That is correct.
Last time I hosted, I apparently didn't have the numbers right, but whatever. I'm your host, Eric, I don't know, whatever. Today's game, we will be having Scott and Josh teaming up versus Taco and returning guest, Andy Berry. Andy, why don't you take a minute, let us remind us who you are, where you're from, anything else you want to say. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for having me back again. So I had been from New Haven, Connecticut, but I moved back to my hometown of Woodstock, Illinois just recently. I'm a mechanical engineer out here. All my sports fandoms are Chicago related, but I next to the White Sox and Marquette. My favorite basketball player is Jimmy Butler. So I wore this for Josh, my Jimmy Butler jersey, because he's awesome.
He probably wasn't an FTG back in his Marquette days, but
still love him.
Normally you're born that way, Josh. I'm just saying.
But yeah, I'm happy to be back. I'm looking forward to it.
Now I'm really glad we didn't team up. I would have struggled.
I'm writing down that he said he doesn't like the White Sox, so some questions have just been changed. So,
oh boy.
Just difficulty was just tweaked a little bit. All right. And Senor Taco, how are you doing?
I am good. I changed the battery in my car today. And as a stereotypical millennial man-child who has to watch two YouTube videos in order to do anything around the house, I'm feeling really accomplished. So that's where I'm at. And our team name tonight, Andy, let us know that he's got a new podcast venture, part of the team at the Pivotal Film Podcast. So our team name, in order to get as many plugs in as we can, is going to be, after this episode ends, go listen to Pivotal Film.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Taco, I just want to say that if somebody who can fix cars and do things like that, nothing is more nervous, like just the most nerves into it when it comes to using and touching your battery. Because if you, like, one false move and your whole car is fried.
Oh, 1,000%. I was terrified the entire time. It was a harrowing 45 minutes.
Yes.
45 minutes. Oh,
I was moving very slowly and carefully. Like it was a bomb.
Fair enough.
That's basically it. Josh and Scott, what's up?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Other than, you know, it usually helps, I think, to do a March Madness bracket if you've watched even a second of college basketball in a season. And I realized I hadn't watched even a second of a game before we had to pick teams. And I'm not in last. Yeah, it's a thing, but I've enjoyed actually watching basketball because this is one of my favorite times of the year. So I've just been hanging out on my couch watching game after game after game after game. So, yeah, life's good.
I love it.
Scott?
One of my favorite times of the year as well for different reasons because, you know, it's like draft season, it's WrestleMania season. It's just a good time of the year. You know, baseball season's upon us. I'm back playing softball. So, Mark, listen up. This is my update. You know, so you don't have to ask me every time you see me how my injury's going. I'm back playing sports, been playing softball for about a month now. So, yeah, Josh and I teaming up here, Vikings-related team name. Obviously, they're in the market for a quarterback here. By the time you're listening to this, they'll still be in the market for a quarterback. So this should age pretty well. They obviously have the best receiver in the league, who's a JJ, and it's been reported that they're seeking a JJ. So in honor of that, our team name is going to be JJ to JJ.
I think if you listen to this episode like a year from now, I think they'll still be in the market for a quarterback. But
yeah. Wow.
Ouch.
Yikes.
This is going to age really well.
Coming from the Dak Prescott fan. Oh, sorry. The Cowboys fan.
I saw a graphic today that stated the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. One Mahomes, two Dak Prescott. So a lot of people are on drugs out there. So
if you don't care about postseason success, he might be in the top five.
If you don't care about important games, then Dak Prescott is who you want. That's that's your guy. If you want to beat up on the Giants twice a year, then he's your dude.
He and Kirk Cousins, those are the guys you want if you don't want to have to win a big game. So Falcons, right. Have fun. Enjoy.
All right. Well, with that said, let's kick it over. Hold on. I don't know if I can read this right. Dan? Let's kick over that guy. He's got rules.
The game will consist of four quarters of play, each with different trivia style. The styles of quarters 1 through 3 will change from show to show, and I will explain them as we go along. Like any good sporting event, we will have a halftime show after the second quarter with entertainment questions. And in the fourth quarter, our teams will wager from their points accumulated to see who are today's clipboard captains, to be honored like the true benchwarmers they are. All right, let's get this game underway.
All right, thank you, Don. Today's first quarter is going to be a pre and post game.
Pre and post game. For this quarter, there will be four before and after style questions. For example, if I said, what all-time leader in receptions for the Indianapolis Colts was a Notre Dame safety drafted by the Minnesota Vikings? The answer would be Marvin Harrison Smith. Each question is worth 25 points.
So this one has a little bit of a theme to it. Half of each answer, just to give you a little bit of a hint, is a draft pick from the NFL draft last year. So there you go.
All right.
Question number one. One of only three defensive backs to win the Super Bowl MVP, and he set the FBS bowl record for receiving yards in a game with 347 at the 2022 Rose Bowl.
All right, I'm going to check in.
JJ's checked in. And after this episode, I don't know if you guys know, you should go listen to the Pivotal Film podcast. But you guys can talk it out now.
All right, Matt, I am lost. I don't know either part of this.
Great. We love that for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. So, well, let's start with defensive backs to win Super Bowl MVP, because that's a much smaller list. So we've got Larry Brown was a DB.
Oh, yeah.
And, the Tampa Bay guy, Dexter Jackson. What about Dexter Jackson, Smith and Jigba?
Yep, that's it. I was trying to remember that receiver's name. Yeah, I like that.
Okay. All right. Check that in.
All right. And over to JJ's.
Yeah, we had the same. Dexter Jackson, Smith and Jigba.
All right, nice and easy to kick this off. The correct answer is Dexter Jackson Smith and Jigba. Yeah, Larry Brown is one of the other defensive backs, and the other one's, I forget his name. Something in 1973, I think it was, whatever that was.
That was his name, something 1973?
He's a very unique defensive back and a very long name on the back of his jersey, so, you know.
It was hyphenated.
It was. His mom was something, and his father's last name was
1973.
Question number two. Rookie AFC South wide receiver who was on pace for over 1,000 yards before breaking his leg in week 13 and was an ex-teammate of LeBron who may or may not be homeless.
We're checked in.
All right, JJ to JJ has checked in, and after this episode ends, go listen to the Pivotal Film podcast. Is it Pivotal Film podcast, or is it just Pivotal Film? You guys can talk it out.
All right, yeah. I was trying to remember his name, but the first half is definitely Tank Dell, though.
Okay, so then the second half is, I center of the Seneca half is Delonte West, so Tank Dell Lonte West.
Yep.
Check that in.
All right, JJ.
Yeah, I don't think he's homeless anymore. I thought Mark Cuban, like, saved him.
Yeah, that's what I think I read that somewhere.
Within the past year or something. I don't know if it, like, religiously saved him, but he at least got him off the streets. And maybe he's back, though. You're right. I guess we don't really know. But we also checked in with Tank Delonte West.
I did state may or may not be.
Cover your bases. You got it.
The last line on his Wikipedia page is just mentions an arrest, is what I'm saying. So there's nothing about Mark Cuban on there. So.
Well, if he was arrested, he might not be home.
Correct. He might be sleeping somewhere warm. Is
3 hops in a cot.
Let's hope.
He was seen trying to break. This is the exact line from his Wikipedia. After being seen trying to enter a car that did not belong to him. Anyway, but yeah, both teams getting their points. The correct answer is Tank Delonte West. Anyway, let's move on to question number three. Wide receiver who famously made a touchdown saving play in the Super Bowl and was the top running back taken in the 2023 NFL draft.
We will check in.
All right. After this episode ends, go listen to the Pivotal Film. Has checked in. So JJ, talk it out.
I think we got it.
Yeah, I was letting Scott at work on the second half, which I'm guessing he had this, or he was just having a brain fart, one of the two. But I was thinking of the first half, and I was like, isn't that Don Beebe? And then it was pretty quick. I sent over Bijan because Scott hadn't said anything yet. So we're checking with Don Beebe, John Robinson, right? Robinson?
Yep.
And Pivotal Film.
Same thing. Don Beebe, John Robinson.
Mm-hmm. A little surprise here. Both teams getting their points. The correct answer is Don Beebe, John Robinson. And if Leon Lett would have scored that touchdown, would they have went for two? Would they just get 60 in a Super Bowl? I think they would have. Anyway. Final question, a pre and post game question number four. Quarterback who would most likely be the first overall pick in a 2023 redraft, and professional wrestler known for his unique attire, entrance music, and his trademark short temper, spontaneity, and quick wit.
Okay, we'll check in.
All right, after this episode ends, check out the Pivotal Film has checked in. JJ to JJ, and hit me with their answer because I think they got it.
Yeah, it took me a couple seconds. I'm like, Stroud, Oud, but then yeah, as I said it more in my head, it made sense. We checked in with CJ Stroudy Roddy Piper.
And the boys at the Pivotal Film.
We checked in with the same CJ Stroudy. Stroudy Roddy Piper. I it's a tough one, but I knew what you're going for. I like it.
Rolls off the tongue. All right. Both teams getting their points here. The correct answer is CJ Stroudy Roddy Piper. I got nothing to add other than Bryce Young is trash. All right. After the first quarter, we have a score of JJ to JJ with 100. And after this episode ends, go listen to the Pivotal Film with also 100. Which brings us to the second quarter. And today's second quarter will be The Missing Link.
Ooh. The Missing Link. This quarter will consist of 5 questions with theme-linked answers. The teams will attempt to answer the questions and guess the theme. Each question is worth 20 points. If a team checks in first via chat to the host with the correct theme before the 5th question, they will earn 100 points. The other team can still earn 50 points with the correct theme guess. If neither team has checked in with the correct theme before the 5th question, each team can earn 50 points with the correct answer to the theme after the 5th question.
This Missing Link is brought to you by Neil Fisher. I have nothing else to add other than Neil approved this, so if you have any problems, just direct your complaints to Neil Fisher.
He'll get my
It's a common name, so just pick one.
He'll get my second.
Does it have to be Neil Fisher? Can it just be any Neil or any Fisher?
Any fisherman.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying, but you will definitely get the complaints first if I have any. Second. Don't worry.
All right. This is not on the level of Toyota. I'll just put that out there right now.
A little more complex than they're all women.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Not much.
I don't expect a whole lot more, but just good. A little bit.
Just a little bit.
All right.
All women with birthdays. All right. Question number one. This sinker ball pitcher made his debut with the Mariners in 1997, with his last appearance with the Rangers in 2013. In his career, he had a season as an AL saves leader, another as an NL wins leader, pitched a no-hitter, and won a World Series.
We'll check in.
All right, after this episode ends, go listen to the Pivotal Film has checked in. JJ to JJ, you guys can talk it out.
Ooh, these are usually kind of questions I really enjoy, but I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I'm wasn't paying a lot of attention to the Mariners pre-Griffey.
This is prime Griffey, right? 97, so.
Oh, sorry, nice. I was thinking, sorry. This is, yeah. Is he still there in 97?
Oh, yeah.
When did he go to the Reds? I was thinking 87, by the way. I was like, boop, my brain's not working.
Yeah, he didn't go to the Reds until early 2000s.
Oh, my word.
So what's tough is, like, we can't really grab, was he a reliever first, then start? You know what I mean?
Right, because he ended up, because he started and finished in the AL, so.
Exactly, right. I mean.
And he was assuming he was a starter at some point in the National League then.
Right. There were a lot of guys that kind of did both, right? That sort of the John Smoltz. There were a lot of guys that Ryan Dempster comes to mind because I know he threw a sinker and he could have been the NL wins leader when he was on the Cubs. I'm pretty sure he pitched a no hitter as well.
Was he an AL saves leader?
Maybe. I mean, he was a closer. I know that. Right. Cause this isn't like a Tom Gordon. He was up before 97. Cause AL saves. I mean, in that time, it's like, you know, it's Rivera. There's whoever was closing for the Red Sox, either Folk or Papelbon. They were getting a lot of saves. There aren't too many guys. And the Mariners, if he was closing with the Mariners, this would have been probably before they had Kaz Sasaki, Marcus's favorite.
So you said Red Sox. Wasn't Derek Lowe their closer for a while?
Derek Lowe was there. I like that too. Oh, yes, it is Derek Lowe. He was in the Mariners system as a prospect. Okay. So it makes sense he would have come up with them in 97, not really, you know, lit the world on fire.
Yeah.
And then had a little bit of I don't want to say a journeyman career, but he bounced around a little bit at the end, like after Boston. I like that better. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're going to check in with Derek Lowe.
All right. And after this episode ends, go listen to the pivotal film. Your answer.
Yeah, I went at it from the who is a starter and a closer and has a no-hitter. And as soon as Derek Lowe clicked in there, checked all the boxes. And I think he was the other piece with Jason Veritek in that Heathcliff Slocum trade to the Red Sox. So that made the Mariners connection. And then that was that. So we also checked in with Derek Lowe.
All right. Both teams getting their points here. The correct answer is Derek Lowe. Yeah, he was the AL wins or saves leader in 2000, NL wins leader in 2006. And he was one of the key pieces to help the Red Sox win their first World Series in what, like a billion years. All right. So far, theme linked answers, Derek Lowe. All right. Let's move to question two. This Big Ten first round pick clashed with ownership in the city of Cincinnati after the team placed the franchise tag on him following the 97 season. He called the city racist, saying its residents were prejudiced, uptight, and stiff. He was then traded to an NFC team to play alongside Dana Stubblefield, who was also acquired that offseason.
All right, we'll check in.
All right, after this episode ends, check out the Pivotal Film Podcast. I've listened to it never, but I'm probably going to.
Please do.
JJ to JJ, you guys can talk about.
Right, so now we're looking at like a defensive lineman that went from Cincinnati to wherever Dana Stubblefield went that offseason.
Wilkerson?
Dan Wilkerson?
Yeah,
He was a first Cincy. Overall pick.
And he was in Cincy. He played in...
Was he?
He played for the Bengals. He was a Big Ten guy.
Yeah, 94. Right? 94, number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Okay, that would make sense. I know he played in Detroit, but I think that was later. So this likely would have been, I think, a stop before then.
Okay.
You said you think maybe Washington.
I'm picturing Stubblefield in a Redskins jersey.
I know him kind of Niners and Patriots. So yeah, this would have been in between.
Because he wasn't with the Niners anymore. Because he was acquired after the offseason. So we ruled out the 49ers. But I can't necessarily put Wilkerson there.
No, but wouldn't surprise me.
Big Ten, mid-90s Bengals, first round, you know. Yeah, that's the best name I got for you. Check that in.
All right, and after this episode ends, check out the Pivotal Film. Answer, please.
So Taco got we figured out Washington, so then I was just going down the roster. And then I was thinking back on guys the Bengals drafted. I thought about one that was first overall back in the 90s. I could remember his name. I said Wilkerson first, too, but then Taco had Wilkinson, and we also checked in with Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
Both teams getting their points here. The correct answer is Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. Was he a bust? I think I'm going to say yes. Maybe not to, like...
He was drafted right ahead of Marshall Faulk, so if you want to look at it that way.
I mean, not only that, but... If you're a defensive tackle and it's that era and you're not as good as Warren Sapp and you were drafted higher than Warren Sapp, then you're probably kind of a bust.
But he had it's basically where his if he was drafted 15th, no one says he's a bust. But the fact he's drafted first.
I think that's the first overall is what sort of gives him that. But like he had a solid career.
He did.
Correct. Yes.
He was a serviceable defensive tackle, but he wasn't a Pro Bowler. Really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Like if you said to someone, "Hey, we drafted a DT in the first round. He played for 12 seasons." You'd be like, "Oh, that's excellent."
Right. Right.
But yeah, circumstances.
All right. Theme linked answers. We have Derek Lowe and Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. Question number three. Listed as a point guard and power forward on his Wikipedia page, what SEC one-and-done player was featured in a Showtime documentary film in 2016? He's also a supporter of the Essendon Football Club. Gross.
We'll check in.
All right, JJ's checked in. Pivotal film, you guys can talk it out.
I don't think this will take super long. We just kind of went, let's think of some one-and-done SEC Aussies. And Andy said, that guy that went to LSU. And I said, oh, yeah, Ben Simmons. And Andy said, yep, that's it. And we didn't think beyond that. So we checked in with Ben Simmons.
Okay, JJ to JJ.
We also checked in with that guy that went to LSU, Ben Simmons.
All right, both teams getting their points. It is Ben Simmons. The name of the documentary, I believe, was One and Done. And I don't know if you've read in the question or heard me say, Essendon Football Club, gross.
No, not gross. Calm down. My team at least has a win this season.
I don't need any this year.
Fair. You're basking in glory still. That's right.
Yeah, damn right. All right, so theme link answers so far. Derek Lowe, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson, and the guy we just mentioned, Ben Simmons. That brings us to question number four. This pitcher's resume includes an AL Cy Young, a comeback player of the year for the season where he would go 22-3. He was a four-time All-Star and a recipient of a very prestigious Gordon Cobbledick Golden Tomahawk Award. So yeah, the Gordon Cobbledick Golden Tomahawk Award. While pitching for the Phillies, an injury would ultimately end his career at the age of 36 in 2014. The good old Gordon Cobbledick Golden Tomahawk.
Guys, you should be very impressed. Josh is going through every single Gordon Cobbledick Golden Tomahawk Award winner.
Yeah, I've been studying that one. I've been studying that one a lot lately.
So just choosing which guy from that list.
When we've been doing this podcast for 4 years, you're eventually going to, you know, crack open the Gordon Cobbledick Golden Tomahawk Trophy.
Okay, we're going to check in.
JJ has checked in. That means after this episode ends, you should go check out the Pivotal Film Podcast. And now you can listen to them talk out this question.
I think we're pretty close here.
I don't know if I have anything better. I love that award name. Never heard of it before, but Gordon Cobbledick is a pretty great name. I do think I remember him leading the league in wins, or he was close with over 22. He was definitely on my fantasy team at that time, I think. So yeah, I got nothing better than Cliff Lee.
Yeah, I feel the same. You know, Golden Tomahawk feels like very problematic at this point in terms of an award to give for one of those teams with a problematic name. And Cliff Lee did a lot of his damage in Cleveland and definitely ended his career with the Phillies. So I think that checks enough of the boxes where I think that's the best we got. So we will check in with Cliff Lee.
And JJ to JJ.
Yeah. I think he got those 22 playing for the Cleveland Ball Club. And yeah, I get to see them quite a bit. So we also checked in with Cliff Lee.
All right. Both teams getting their points here. The correct answer is Cliff Lee. And for anybody curious, Gordon Cobbledick was born December 31st, 1898. And he was a journalist in Cleveland. He has two sons, William Cobbledick and Dorn Cobbledick. The theme link dancers so far, we have Derek Lowe, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson, Ben Simmons, and the Cliff Lee, the recipient of the Gordon Cobbledick Golden Tomahawk. How many times am I going to say that today? You'll never know. And Josh, I apologize for this question. I did not, the way my games came out, you weren't supposed to be here, so sorry.
I wasn't supposed to be here on a... Or was this supposed to be a Tuesday?
No, this was supposed to be a different day because that one got thrown off. So my psych, I have another game written, but it's.
That's all right.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's all right.
You say that now. Anyway. Question number five. This place kicker's career started in 1982 and ended in 2004. He's the first kicker in NFL history to finish the regular season with a 100% success rate on field goals and extra points. His only miss that season would come during a very important game. Hashtag too much Minnesota.
We can check in.
JJ's checked in. Pivotal film. Talk it out.
Got to be Anderson, right?
It's got to be.
I don't know who else it could be.
But... No, I think that's it. Check it in.
All right. JJ.
Just to let you know, I'm not as triggered as Dan is by any mention of Gary Anderson.
Both teams getting their points here. Yes, the correct answer is Gary Anderson. And when you think of place kicker from the 80s and 90s, that's what most people picture. It's either him or Kevin Butler. So theme-linked answers. Derek Lowe. Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. Ben Simmons. Cliff Lee. And Gary Anderson. I'll give you guys another couple minutes to come up with any guesses. Because I've had two submitted to me and they are not right.
And the last one's the giveaway. Uh-huh. Sure.
I'll put it this way. The last two are the giveaway. Put them together.
Any more specific than that?
No.
All right.
So you guys checked in with your theme linked answer. That means, not change. After this episode ends, check out the Pivotal Film podcast. You guys can talk out what you think this link would be for another. I'll give you 30 seconds.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I don't think we have a whole lot. I see Lee and Anderson next to each other at the end, and I think Pamela. But then I don't know what to do with that information.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing you can do. With that
oh.
Lee Anderson Simmons. I'm assuming because Eric was like making sure to say Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson every time that Big Daddy's somehow involved.
Again, I got nothing after Adam Sandler, and that's wrong. So
right,
I know another Big Daddy.
I think we just might have to punt this one.
Yeah,
I don't have a clue.
I got nothing.
All right, we're gonna kick the ball away.
All right, and we'll go to JJ and JJ for their guess at this link here.
Yeah, I mean we had nothing at all throughout. I also kind of caught that he said Big Daddy every single time, and so we're trying to go down the Adam Sandler train, but that didn't make sense, and we really didn't have much else until he said the last two are the giveaway, and I went, okay, Lee and Anderson. My mind also went to Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, and then just like Taco, I was like, I can't do anything with that. I don't know what that is. And then I went, wait, Wilkinson, Kendra Wilkinson, that's a person, that's a name. And listen, I don't know what these people are famous for. I'm just going to put that out there right now. I have no idea what these people are famous for. So then we tried to figure out one more that fit, and Josh came up with Shannon Tweed Simmons that would also fit into the category. So we checked in with Playboy Playmates.
Okay, so I don't know if when was the last time that neither team got the link? Because
probably been a while.
Neither of you got this. So I'll lay out what we have here. So the first answer was Derek Lowe, which shares the last name with somebody by the name of Rob Lowe. And Scott, you had the second one. Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson is connected with because last name of Kendra Wilkinson. And then we move on to three Simmons. There's somebody by the name of Gene Simmons. Okay. And then everybody had the last two, Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson. Hmm. What were they known for?
Reality show stars.
Are they all in this real life?
It was a reality type thing on like a tape.
Sex tapes. Yeah.
There you go. These were all people who are involved in a celebrity sex tape.
Whoa, had a sex tape? Hold on.
He did.
Yeah.
Scott will be right back.
What? Rob Lowe or creepy Rob Lowe? That sounds like a creepy Rob Lowe thing.
You know what? I'm okay not getting this link.
Yeah.
You know, Eric, you know what would have helped me?
I feel completely fine about it.
Yeah. You know what helped me with a T.Y. Hilton question? All right. I would have got this.
No. You know, the one that would have given it to me is Tanya Harding. If that
I was
going
that was part that was part of it, but then I'm like, I don't know if most people knew about that one.
Oh, that's like what I mean, that's more famous than some of these.
Could have thrown us a China.
China. Oh yeah,
yeah.
All right. There's a lot of them out there. I mean, this could happen again.
Yes, it can.
This could definitely happen again.
Although I think for ours to actually be correct, you probably needed the two not to be combined at the end. Because
yes,
I don't know. There could be a low.
I don't think Tommy Lee was ever a playmate.
Well, I was like, what if she did it once as just Pamela Anderson, and then she did it again as Pamela Anderson?
I would have thrown Sable on there if it was.
Okay. Well, cool.
I was watching an episode of The Office and where Pam accidentally orders a celebrity sex tape. So I was just like, oh, I wonder if I could do something with it. There you go.
News flash, Neil Fisher's a perf.
Wow. I mean, I agree. I'm just saying.
Hey, there's our episode title, Creepy Neil Fisher. All right.
Oh, yes. I didn't call him creepy. I just said he's a perf.
And then the next episode title will be our libel lawsuit.
Yes.
Is he litigious? We'll find out.
After the second quarter, I should probably know the scores. I don't think anybody's missed anything other than the theme. So after the second quarter, we have a score of JJ to JJ with 200. And after this episode ends, go listen to the Pivotal Film podcast. They also have 200 tied up. That brings us to halftime.
It is now time for the halftime show. There will be three entertainment questions. Each question is worth 25 points.
This is a very easy halftime. So we've been known to kill people on this podcast from time to time and on other podcasts. Josh, I'm looking at you.
Hey, at least I haven't on this podcast.
No, didn't you mention? I thought you did. I thought you were the Kelly Preston one. Weren't you?
No, that happened. I wasn't on that episode.
You guys were all talking about it.
And then shortly after was when I hosted Triviality with Chadwick Boseman as an answer.
Okay. Yeah. So this halftime was inspired to me by the annual trivia night I go to every year with a group of friends. And they always have these bonus rounds called Dead or Alive. So I'm just going to give you a famous person and you're going to tell me if they are dead or alive. All right. Question one. And I'm not just going to throw you the name. And if you don't know who they are, I'll tell you who they are if you need help. Question number one, it's Earl Hyndman.
Who?
He played Wilson on Home Improvement.
Hmm.
Is he alive or not?
We'll check in.
All right. After this episode ends, go check out the Pivotal Film. It's checked in. JJ to JJ, what you got?
We both are thinking probably dead.
I've heard nothing about him starring in any sort of reboot, so that leads me to believe he's no longer with us.
That's a more better reason than me just going, boy, he'd be pretty old. So we're going to check in.
Do we know that? We don't really know what he looks like. He could have been 15 years old.
No, didn't we actually get to see him once, like at the end? Like
no, never.
No. Maybe I just looked up the actor at one point and there went, "Oh, that's an old guy." So we're going with dead.
All right, and Pivotal Film.
We're also. I don't know for sure, but I think he's dead.
Everyone wants Wilson dead. That's what we've gathered from this. Is so Earl Hyndman was he was born. He did have a birthday on October 20th, 1942. So he's not terribly old, but he did pass away at the ripe age of 61 in 2003.
I would have not guessed it had been that far back that he would have died. Yeah. I would have thought it would have been a little more recent.
Yeah. So he passed away from lung cancer.
So
don't smoke.
So now the question is he just going to throw three dead at us? That way he can't possibly kill someone off because they're already dead.
It's a possibility. Anyway, let's move on to question number two. Halftime. Dennis Farina. You might know Dennis from his roles on Get Shorty, Law and Order, and the Unsolved Mysteries reboot.
All right, we'll check it in.
All right. After this episode ends, check out the Pivotal Film. It's checked in. JJ to JJ, you guys can talk out your knowledge of Dennis Farina's health and or not health.
You think he's dead, Josh?
I think he is. I think I saw him in one of those in memorandum at the Oscars in the mid-2013s, somewhere in there.
Okay, yeah. No, terrific role in 2008's What Happens in Vegas. So I know he was alive then.
Yeah, I feel like I
can't
place him
after that. All right, you know what? If it's something that you're latching onto, at least, so let's do it.
Yeah, so we're gonna check in dead.
All right, and over to a Pivotal Film.
Yeah, we also checked in dead. We're not overthinking this one.
All right. So Dennis Farina was born in 1944 on February 29th. So technically when he died, he was only like, what, 20? I don't know. Anyway, but no, he did pass away in 2013 from a pulmonary embolism.
Wait, you say he was born February 29th, 1944?
Yeah. So how old would that make him?
Same day as my dad.
Really?
My dad was leap year, February 29th, 1944. Hmm. My dad would be 80, also dead. So if he comes up next, Josh, I know the answer.
Hold on, what was your dad's name? Yeah, so both teams gave me points here. That was, yes, Dennis Farina has passed away. And I did not appreciate, I did not like his character on Law and Order. I'll say that right now. Question number three of the halftime. Is this person dead or alive? And I'm going to throw this name at you here. Skip Bayless.
Is this what we wish?
What are you talking about?
We can check in.
Okay, I guess we can check in.
All right, everybody's checking in. How about we 3-2-1 this? 3-2-1.
Alive.
Alive
for now.
Damn. Depends on what your definition of dead is.
Yeah.
Well, I see what you're doing. You're trying to get rid of somebody.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So this is your new bit for half times. Tell you, easy to write it quick, huh?
Very easy to write.
So that happened because I like was loading my game into the script and I realized I didn't have one. I didn't have a halftime. Like, I've got to do something there, and I haven't done that yet. And I've always wanted to. So it's that's anyway.
So you gave us two already dead and someone you want dead.
I don't know what you're talking. I do not want anyone dead.
Why are you winking? What are you?
Let me just Google his name real quick to make sure he's okay.
I was going to say, I'm checking right now.
Is Bayless dead? Question mark. All right, let's move on after halftime. We're still tied, 275 to 275, JJ to JJ, and go listen to the Pivotal Film podcast. All right, and that brings us to the third quarter. And today's third quarter will be 5-on-3.
Five on three. For this quarter, there will be three categorized lists containing five items, where each item is worth 10 points. The teams will attempt to guess as many items as they can. However, if a team has an incorrect guess, they will receive 0 points for that list.
All right, Josh, I looked at every NFL franchise's quarterback passing leaders before the game.
Nice.
No, not nice, because we don't get the lucky seven.
Maybe one of these, or maybe there'll be three teams, maybe. And who are their top five?
There we go. Yeah.
I did something. we're going with quarterbacks. I'm going to give you three quarterbacks, and I just want to know who caught the most touchdowns from each quarterback.
Okay.
All right. So, first question is, who caught the most touchdown passes from Tom Brady?
Eric, we're going to check in.
All right, after this episode ends, go check out the Pivotal Film podcast. It's checked in. JJ to JJ can talk it out now.
Gronk, Moss, Edelman, I think are kind of our top three, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so Moss would be, I mean, he had 23?
Yeah.
And then one more season with Brady, right? Because Brady got hurt the next season.
And he probably...
Let's say he caught 10.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
So he's somewhere in the low 30s, I would imagine.
Okay.
Low to mid 30s.
I mean, do we think that's close to second or third, probably?
I wouldn't be surprised if that was like third or fourth.
Yeah, okay. You think Edelman is higher on total, maybe? I'm just...
Again, it's the longevity, right? Like, Edelman was there for a while. He brought up Wes Welker for the same reason. Deion Branch was there for not as long as those guys were. Same with like Troy Brown. I know early in his career, he threw a lot to David Givens, a lot of touchdowns. But I don't know if he got more than like, that's what I mean.
20s.
I No, but I think that if he got into the high teens, that could make him fourth or fifth, but I don't want to chance it necessarily.
I mean, another name we didn't throw out there, didn't James White catch a bunch of...
He did.
It's another... I forgot that you have the running back yeah. part of that.
Kevin Falk, too, was there forever, mm-hmm. and he was his receiving back. There's also Ben Watson, right? I mean, tight end, who was there for a long time with Brady.
So
Jabbar Gaffney. Rest in peace? Yeah, we solved that a while back, years ago on this show.
So the question is, in the two seasons in Tampa, how many do you think Mike Evans caught?
My guess would be somewhere around the amount of David Gibbons, so probably high teens. If he caught eight and eight, that's 16, which doesn't seem like it should be anywhere close to the top five. I feel like he would have had to have
caught more than that the Super Bowl season.
No, I'm lowballing it.
Yeah.
That's me, I think worst case scenario is probably like 16.
Really? I don't know.
I think he's in probably the low 20s.
The question is, does that sneak the five or not? I don't know.
I think it does. I think that's probably what makes this a little bit unique, but I don't know if we necessarily need to take that risk.
Yeah.
Do we just go with the three that we feel most comfortable with? Because I think the rest are just, it's kind of a crapshoot.
I would, if you think Welker would have picked up enough just from the number of years, I'd be comfortable with him as a fourth possibly, but I wouldn't probably.
He was just a lot of all right, I'll get you into the red zone, and then it was throwing it to other guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many years was Welker there for him in the early 2000s? Do you know?
Six, probably. Five, six, I would think.
And you don't think he caught five or six a season? I mean, he probably – I mean, I know that he had way more yards than touchdowns, but catching five or six touchdowns is not – tough to do for my Tom Brady.
No, it's
per
not.
Season.
Yeah, we can throw him in.
So do we want
to put it like that? Yeah, when you put it like that.
Gronk, Moss, Edelman, and Welker.
Damn, he just liked throwing the white guys, man. But yeah, I'm good with those.
All right, we're gonna check in those four.
All right, and over to a pivotal film. What was your answer?
We checked in with the same four, kicked around a couple of names, but didn't feel confident enough, and those four felt pretty safe. So we checked in with those same four of Gronk, Moss, Edelman, Welker.
Both teams will get their points. Gronk with 90, Moss with 39, Edelman with 36, Welker with 34. The three in 6th, 7th, and 8th, you had Aaron Hernandez with 18, Deion Branch with 24, James White with 24. And the fifth, number five on this list, Scott and Josh, you guys, I don't know if you realize or not, Brady was in Tampa for three seasons.
It was three seasons.
Oh, was it Godwin or Evans?
So Evans is the third or the fifth on the list with 32.
I don't know why I thought it was only two, but I still wouldn't have, even with the third season, I'm not sure I would have felt fully comfortable that he would have had more than some of the other names too. So
yeah
it was 13, 14, and 6.
All right.
Which I think one of those must have been from a different one, because that doesn't add to 32. Just so you know, I know math. I'm good.
He caught one from Kyle Trask.
Probably somebody. Sean King, I think, came back for a second, just threw a touchdown. Let's move on to question number two. Who caught the most touchdown passes from Phillip Rivers?
No,
we will
no.
check in.
All right. After this episode ends, check out the Pivotal Film Podcast. Is checked in. JJ to JJ, talk it out.
I'm going to say it for ease. I said Rashe Caldwell on this list.
He's dead, right? No.
Jeez.
He is now.
But
he could also be on the Brady list. That's right.
So the three I feel best with, obviously Gates.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Vincent Jackson. And yeah. I think Keenan Allen has to be up there. I think they had enough years together.
And again, it wasn't a lot, but it was enough.
But he was the primary touchdown guy. At that point.
Yep. Yeah, maybe we go. Maybe we do just go Gage, Jackson, Allen.
There's another. There is. I can't. There's another Andy name.
Woodhead also could be on the Brady list.
That I can't think of. Who I think was there for a long stretch.
The receiver?
Yes.
African American?
Yes.
Dreads?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. God, I think I had him on my fantasy team at least one season.
Scott's just building a creative player.
Floyd. Floyd.
Michael Floyd.
No, not Michael Floyd. Malcolm Floyd.
Oh, that guy?
He was there for like 10 seasons with Rivers, I think.
It wasn't that many, but yeah, you're right. He was there for... I haven't thought about that guy in forever.
He was there for a long stretch.
Do you think...
I don't know.
If you want to roll the dice, I'm fine with it because that's a hell of a goal.
That's the name. I just was glad I came up with his name. It was a long stretch, but he was not a huge number guy because he had...
No,
he was third or fourth on the list of getting touches. So I'm fine with just the three. I'm fine.
I forgot Malcolm Floyd existed. We'll check in with the three then. Antonio Gates, Vincent Jackson, and Keenan Allen.
Not going with Malcolm Floyd.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't have enough. There's not enough steam there. Sorry.
I just want to make sure. All right. And over to the boys at the Pivotal Film. What did you guys come up with?
All right. We got, so we came up with Gates, obviously, right away, and Keenan Allen. Vincent Jackson came up right away too. And then I sat around and I did almost exactly what Josh did. There's that one guy who was there for probably 10 years. I think he was number two to Vincent Jackson. I think he's got to be on the list because he was there for so long. And we checked in with four, and the last one is Malcolm Floyd.
Ah! So one team went with Malcolm Floyd and the other one did not. Did it work? Is the question. So when you look at Philip Rivers' list of touchdown passes that he has thrown, he has a crap ton of names. Holy crap. And you know whose name's not on there, Scott? Rashay Caldwell.
You never caught one?
not one. Not one from Philip Rivers. Not one. He hated him. Randy McMichael caught one from him. How? No one knows. Other names on here, Ryan Matthews, Jackie Battle, Vincent Brown, Stevie Johnson, T.Y. Hilton, Mike Tolbert.
Oh.
Chris Chambers. Like, this list is impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Williams.
I forgot when Chambers and McDaniels both left the Dolphins for the Chargers. That's right.
Right? So, number one with 89 is Antonio Gates. That was a given. And then there's a very, very, very steep drop off. Then it's to Vincent Jackson at number two, rest in peace, with 37. Keenan Allen has 33. And there were two people tied with 17. Either one of them was used, I would have counted it. It was Hunter Henry with 17 and Tyrell Williams with 17. Actually, I did skip a name. With 34, he had Malcolm Floyd. So he was there for 10 years, and all of his touchdown passes were from Philip Rivers. So he is third on that list. So both teams get their points.
Ah, dang it.
Other names right on the outside looking in. He had Austin Eckler had 14, Danny Woodhead with 13, Sproles with 11, and Eddie Royal almost made it in with 16. Yeah, I love just looking at just stuff like that. It's just you see names that you haven't seen since.
I forgot Malcolm Floyd existed.
The thing was, hoping that when I finally got there, it was going to have you
be strong,
a bigger, stronger. Because, he had 10 years, but I couldn't have told you. So I guess all he had to do was catch 3.5 touchdowns a season.
Right? Right. You didn't need a lot.
No. Dang it. Oh, well.
I mean, how many games did Gates miss? He probably caught him when Gates was out.
Probably.
All right. Third question for this quarter here. So we hit one Chargers quarterback. Why not another? Question number three, who caught the most touchdown passes from Drew Brees?
All right, Josh, just look at the list we had before.
Does Ed Rasheed Caldwell?
No, I don't feel confident in him anymore.
We'll check in.
JJ to JJ has checked in. Pivotal film. You guys can talk it out.
Okay, so we've got Jimmy Graham, Michael Thomas, Marcus Colston that feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, I love the way you described Lance Moore as being Drew Brees' Malcolm Floyd. I feel like
he was there for a long time. I don't think he ever put up a lot, but I think he, just for longevity, I don't know if it was 10 years, but it had to be.
Yeah, he definitely had his name on the back of a bar stool. And then the fifth name.
I mean, it could be Gates.
Maybe Gates snuck into the five spot there. I don't know. I mean,
I don't feel super confident on it, though.
Yeah, I like those four. And then considering we're 10 points ahead, the only way they can tie us is if they get all five. So I'd rather go for four that we really like than try and throw a fifth one on there that maybe, you know, costs us everything.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go with those four.
Okay, so we will check in Jimmy Graham, Michael Thomas, Marcus Colston, and Lance Moore.
All right, and over to JJ to JJ.
Very similar discussion. Pretty quickly had Colston and Graham. We were pretty confident Michael Thomas probably did get there. We also have Lance Moore as our fourth. And we didn't feel confident on the fifth because we had names like Meacham, Henderson, Gates, and they're probably all within a couple of touchdowns of each other. And we didn't feel confident enough to pick a fifth one out of there. So we checked in with the same four.
All right. Well, Colston is number one with 72.
Ooh.
Jimmy Graham had 51. Michael Thomas had 29. A name that just came up, Robert Meacham, at 25. He's also on this list. So with the name that everybody used, Lance Moore, the Malcolm Floyd, he unfortunately has 38 because he's also on the list. That's fine. So both teams getting the points. Don't ever compare Lance Moore to Malcolm Floyd because Lance Moore at least had 1,000 yards in the season and probably – overall, I would say a better career.
I had forgotten about Lance Moore. I forgot about Malcolm Floyd.
He had 79 catches, and he close to 1,000 yards one season and over 1,000 yards another, 10 touchdowns in 2008. So, yeah, solid. But, yes, both teams get their points there. Some players looking in from the outside on this list. Antonio Gates had 23, so he was right there. Brandon Cooks, 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Devery Henderson, 17. Darren Sproles, 16. Rasheed Caldwell, 7. Not on this list. No. Not even close.
But he caught some touchdowns. On the list.
Yeah.
Over, under 10 career touchdowns for Rasheed Caldwell.
I'm going to say under.
is the 7 all he had?
No, he had 11, actually.
Oh. Right. The thing is, the team that I affiliate him with the most, he apparently had none. So
7 from Breeze, 4 from Brady.
Oh.
Makes sense.
I mean,
all right.
Listen, he could tell his kids, I caught touchdown passes from Tom Brady and Drew Brees, and that's it. All right?
Do you have to have any other?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so after the third quarter, we have a lead for somebody. JJ to JJ has 385. And after that quarter, after this episode ends, goes listen to the Pivotal Podcast, has 395. And that brings us to the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter, known as Put Your Fours Up. This quarter consists of four categorized questions that teams will wager up to 100 points each, not to exceed their current point total.
categories for this fourth quarter are as follows. Question one. This one is for Adam. This is a non-Big Four question. Question two, it's all about the Benjamins. The question's about money. Question three, true value. That's NFL. And question four, this is another one for Adam. It's also another non-Big Four question. And when I say Adam, I'm referring to one Adam Spies.
Yeah,
I figured that's what that was.
We already got a whole pervy missing link, so what other pervy stuff can there be?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I would have expected more of the approval from Adam than me.
Right, right.
But I underestimated the perviness, so. Yeah.
Notes for this episode. Neil and Adam are pervs.
Right. I mean, only one is a shocker.
Yes.
literal shocker or the never mind. It's now time for the teams to place their wagers.
We'd like to take a minute to invite you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BenchwarmersTP. We also have a Facebook group for fans of the pod called The Bench. Join us there to comment on the latest episodes and share cool sports facts and trivia. If you'd be willing to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher, we'd greatly appreciate the support so that other people may find this podcast. Thanks.
Now that the wagers are in, I have questions. All right, question one. This is for Adam. Widely regarded as the greatest bodybuilder of all time, what bodybuilder is renowned for his impressive size and conditioning along with his extremely heavy workouts? Winner of the Mr. Olympia 8 times, some of his impressive weightlifting accomplishments include squatting 800 pounds, deadlifting 800 pounds, and leg pressing 2,400 pounds. All right.
We'll check in.
So we have, after this episode ends, go check out a Pivotal Film podcast that has checked in. So JJ to JJ, I'll talk it out. I'll need your answer and your wager.
All right. How many bodybuilders can you name, Josh? I gave you my two.
Yeah. You know, those. You want beyond those two?
If you have that knowledge.
I don't. I don't have a knowledge beyond
Schwarzenegger. So it's Arnold or Lou Ferrigno. Okay.
I don't think either of them competed enough to get to be 8-time.
I don't think so either.
I mean, Schwarzenegger went and was, you know, acting too much after that.
Yeah.
After, you know, and I just don't think same with Ferrigno, I suppose. Yeah. I think either's the answer, so feel free to pick whichever one you like the best. Should we go with the Hulk?
I like them both. I mean, Jingle All the Way is one of my favorite Christmas movies. So,
sorry. I have Minnesota issues with it. Minnesota geography issues with that movie.
I can understand that. Okay, so because of that, let's go with Ferrigno then.
All right, for 92 points, which we'll be losing.
All right, so JG to JJ is going with one of the stars of The King of Queens, Lou Ferrigno. And over to Pivotal Film Podcast, answer and wager.
Yeah, I could not remember his name. I was thinking Arnold Schwarzenegger at first, just because I know that's Adam Spies' favorite person. I do think he won 7 Mr. Olympias, but I don't think he won 8. But I watched a documentary over COVID on this guy. I could not remember his name, and then Taco rang the bell. I'm pretty sure this is Ronnie Coleman. I think the documentary was called The King. I watched it. It was pretty good. Interesting guy.
We wagered 100.
One team getting their points here. Lou Ferrigno is a massive, massive human being. As Arnold would call him, Big Louie. But no, he didn't win Mr. Olympia 8 times. He was funny on King of Queens. I'm just saying. But anyway, the correct answer is Ronnie Coleman. And if you do not know who Ronnie Coleman is, check it out. Yes, Josh.
Who?
Ronnie Coleman has veins in his arms thicker than my neck. Like, this guy is...
Holy crap. Desire to see that.
No, this is... I'm not one that's, like, easily... Like, because I've watched, like, when HD... TV first like came out, there was like this channel called just HD Max or something weird like that, and every time we would put it on, it was just bodybuilding. Like that's how I was introduced to HD TV. It was just bodybuilders.
Weird.
And I'm pretty sure it's funny because we had a question earlier with the answer was Dexter Jackson. There's also a very prominently known bodybuilder named Dexter Jackson. I'm pretty sure there's also one named Jay Cutler.
Yeah, Jay Cutler too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, football and bodybuilding, same thing.
Hmm.
So well, after that question, we've got a little bit of a gap here.
Yeah.
JJ to JJ 293. And after this episode ends, go listen to Pivotal Film Podcast 495. It brings us to question number two. This is just a very, very quick and to the point question. According to Forbes in 2023, what team is the most valuable Big Four team to never win a championship? Mm-hmm. And for purposes of this question, the NFL portion, if you're looking at an NFL team, I'm referring to Super Bowls. So sorry, Matt Doherty, if you're going to start looking back and, you know, Packers and their 49 championships that nobody knows about.
We'll check in.
All right, JJ to JJ has checked in. Pivotal Film Podcast, guys can talk it out.
I think we're close. So I think we're thinking NFL teams and NFL teams in big markets.
Yeah.
Which I think we're at this point, I think we're between the Falcons and the Texans.
Yes. And Houston is bigger. I think, isn't Houston the fourth biggest?
I think so. Yeah. That would probably be my lean. I would assume it's, I would assume it's an NFL team.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I don't feel great about I think I just don't feel great about it because they're like a relatively new franchise, but I don't think that has a whole lot to do with like there isn't, you know, I feel like other stuff like their stadium gets a ton of use for Super Bowls and huge college football games and whatever.
That's true. Yeah.
Let's
just go with it. I mean, it's flip a coin, but Houston's bigger. Let's just go with the bigger city as a tiebreaker.
Cool. Yeah, I like it. We will check in the Houston Texans for 80 points.
All right, and over to JJ to JJ.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of coming down a similar path. We were thinking NFL's probably because I don't think any NHL teams, sorry, Ede, I don't think any of them are really cracking towards the top of a Forbes list. And I think we both think baseball and basketball, the ones who have the most value have all won multiple championships probably. So we were thinking about the teams that hadn't won, and we both sort of discounted Houston, I think, due to their relative newness as a franchise. So we went between Atlanta and Minnesota, both have new stadiums, and we went with the bigger market of those two. We said Atlanta for 100, but now I'm fearing that Houston, even though they haven't been around for as long, they might actually be higher, but we went Atlanta.
All right, one team getting their points here. Josh, the Vikings are $4.65 million. And the other team, very close to those two others, is the Falcons at $4.7 million. But the team that is worth most valuable team with no championships is the Houston Texans. They are worth $5.5 billion.
Wow.
Which I'm sure that's just going up as we speak. So,
hey, Scott, we can't finish with zero this time at least.
Yes, correct. We won't.
Of the top 41 teams, it looks like there are no hockey teams on there. Yes, there's a few.
It's
so sad.
There's not as much TV money as the other sports, which is, you know, that's the thing that makes these goddamn NFL teams so valuable is the media rights, including with if you got a newer stadium and all that goodness, big market.
Of the 41 on this list that I have, I think I just counted 30 are NFL teams.
Wow.
Which two are not?
Ooh, I
think that's a better question.
No one think about that. We'll save it for next episode.
Holy crap. Yeah.
I have a guess, but yeah. All right.
So we're going to go to question number three now. What did I say it was?
True value.
Yeah. True value. Here we go. Because I had a different category. Anyway, whatever. The 2023 AP NFL MVP was won by yet another quarterback. Of the 10 players to receive an MVP vote, three were non-quarterbacks. Christian McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, and what AFC defensive end who is on pace to record his 100th sack in 2024?
Yep, we're going to check in.
All right, JJ has checked in. And when this episode ends, check out the Pivotal Film Podcast. Talk it out.
Welp.
Oh, okay.
We got TJ Watt, we got Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
It's probably one of those two.
I'm pretty sure it's one of those.
And I don't have a lean in either direction.
Either do I. Did they come into the league around the same time too? So the 100 sack thing, they're probably pretty close.
Right. You can roll a two-sided die and pick whoever you want.
Why was the first thing that came to my brain? So I don't know.
Let's just go with it.
Yeah, we'll check in with TJ Watt. Not feeling great about it for 100 points.
Okay, and over to JJ.
Yeah, so the first thing that popped in my head was TJ Watt had an unbelievable season. And Myles Garrett also popped in my head. And I'm like, well, they're same division. They came out around the same time. They probably have a similar number of sacks. So then it was just picking between the two. And the only reason we then ended up going with Myles Garrett is because the Browns finished with the number one defense. And I think that garnered a few MVP votes, and Watt did get hurt right at the end. And so we checked in with Myles Garrett for 100 points.
All right. One team getting their points here. They were both in the same draft. TJ Watt has 96 and a half sacks. So he is definitely on pace to hit 100 next season. However, he's not a defensive end.
Correct. Also, an offensive backer. Yeah, there was that.
No.
The team getting their points is the team that said Myles Garrett. So that goes to JJ to JJ.
Yeah. How many does he have?
He's less. I want to say maybe he's got to have like 12 to 14 next year to hit it. Okay. But he definitely, you know, that's his off year, honestly. So.
Right.
I think next year he will hit that. But yes, both in the same draft. He's at 88 and a half. So
they should both easily hit that this next season here. Yeah.
After that, we have a score update. It's technically still anybody's game. JJ has 293. And this episode ends. And when this episode ends, go listen to the Pivotal Film Podcast 475. And we have one question left. And this is question number four. Another one for Mr. Adam Spies. The World's Strongest Man competition was established in 1977. There have been winners from 16 different countries. According to Wikipedia page, there have been over 20 commonly contested events used. Name two of the 20.
I used to watch this so much in summer, in between when I was at not in school. So great.
So much talc.
So much talc. There's their episode title.
Yep.
All right, we'll check in.
All right, JJ to JJ has checked in. That means Pivotal Film Podcast. Talk it up.
Okay, so now we're just kind of waxing poetic about World's Strongest Man in the chat. Atlas Stones was the one that came to mind for both of us first. Yep. And then we both talked about, is it called the keg toss or the keg throw?
Yeah, because they had to like throw it over. Was it a bar or a wall? It was something
like that. It was like a bar or a wall, and they just like chucked it backwards and hoped you didn't get hit in the head by it on the way down.
Yeah, I remember that being dangerous. There's something where they did pull a bus.
Or a truck or like a car full of hot girls or something.
Yeah.
it was some sort of like pulling some sort of vehicle.
Yeah.
I feel like it was different every year.
It was a bus full of Playboy Playmates.
It was a bus full of missing links.
There are a lot of those.
And they did stuff with like deadlifts and things like that, but I don't know if that was an official event. I don't know.
Right. Should we go Atlas Stones and what, truck pulling, vehicle pulling?
Vehicle pulling? Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so we will check in with Atlas Stones and vehicle pulling for 100 points.
All right, and JJ to JJ, answer and wager.
Well, the three that you guys just talked about are absolutely the three that I sent over to Scott. I sent Atlas Stones right away. That's just kind of one of those that you just always see, those big, huge-ass stones that they have to lift up onto whatever. I don't know what the height of the podium thing is that they got to lift them up to or whatever. And vehicle pull and keg toss, those are the ones that I most vividly can remember watching. So I've seen multiple of these, and they do those all the time. So, but we also checked in with the same two of Atlas Stones and vehicle pull.
All right, so this is a fun
not
list.
Enough to win.
Loading melody, overhead press, power stairs, the squat, deadlift was, yes.
Okay.
Keg toss, weight throw, bar bending, car carry, oh, yeah. Hercules car hold.
Bend. Hercules hold. Hercules, that's the hold. One I was thinking yeah. of.
Carry and drag, the farmer's walk, super yoke, Husafell stone, the duck walk, log throw or caber toss,
tug of war,
pole pushing. That's what my, never mind. crucifix, giant dumbbell press, Basque circle or the stone circle or Conan's wheel, Norse hammer, circus bell or circus barbell. We do have vehicle pull and we do have Atlas stone. So both team getting their points. But more importantly, don't forget Fingal's fingers.
So, I forgot about the barbell bending when they put it like around their necks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
These just meaty necks that they're just pushing. Listen, it can't be good for their spine alignment.
None of this could be good for their overall.
Look, it's not that impressive. I've done that with a coat hanger.
The Hercules hold one was the one I was like, they're just like holding up two columns or something and not letting them drop for as long as they can. That's the one I couldn't remember.
The athlete stands between two hinged pillars, gripping handles to prevent the pillars from falling to the side.
Yep.
It ends when they die. holy God. Yeah. None of this could be good for their health at all. The video that's been popping up on my TikTok and all my Instagram stuff all the time is, it's unrelated to The Strongest Man, but has anybody seen Butterbean currently? Mm-hmm. Like, apparently he can't even move. Like, Father Time comes for everybody. And it's just, I always say, like, I played football most of my life. I am on borrowed time with my knees. I'm just waiting.
What are ankles?
Right.
I played basketball all my life. And they don't really tell you that it's not good to just constantly be jumping up and landing pretty hard on hardwood surfaces.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Is that why my knees creak and crack every time I stand up?
If you hear me walk upstairs, it sounds like somebody's walking on uncooked pasta. So that's probably not ideal. Anyway, all right.
This has been the Joint Health Minute on the Benjamin Ashley podcast.
This flaxseed, what are those herbs that people are taking? Any of that helps? The ashwagandha I've been taking is not helping, is what I'm saying. So anyway, so this episode or this game, and the episode for that matter, has come to an end. And here are the final scores. JJ to JJ finishes with a solid 385. And after this episode ends, go check out the or go listen to the Pivotal Film podcast. Finishes with 575, and they will be receiving the Clipboard Captain trophy, the prestigious Clayton Tune Award. Congratulations, gentlemen. AKA Kyler Murray's backup. I've been opening a lot of football cards and his name comes up a lot. So. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you again, Andy. Congratulations on that wonderful award. We will send you that in the mail once UPS doesn't charge so much for shipping. But anything you want to say before we call it a day?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on again. I had a really good time. I think this is my first main feed win. I've only won a Fast Break episode, so
nice.
So I'm happy with that. Thanks, Taco, for playing with me. Did pretty well. It's been said many times, I am part of a podcast called the Pivotal Film Podcast. If you want to listen to me spoil movies and wax poetic about way too long about movies and drinking some beers with my friends, please go check it out. We watch a lot of movies. So, again, thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Wonderful. And I just real quick before we go, I just want to say, Andy, thank you for paying good attention, making sure our balls are doing well. As an equipment manager, we appreciate you. So thank you for your patronage on Patreon. Thank you.
Yes, it's worth it. No, thank you. Thank you. And thanks to all the patrons, anybody that supports us talking about nonsense, such as, you know, Gordon Cobbledick. You know, he's a good guy.
I need to look that up.
Okay. The Golden Tomahawk, you know, why not? On behalf of Josh, Scott, Taco, our guest Andy, I have been Eric Ead, and you've been listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. And until next time, we'll keep the bench warm.
Nice.
Oh, you actually finished it with the actual script? I'm impressed.
Sometimes I use the script.
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch! Stretch! Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes! Yes!
Into deep left center for Mitchell. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
That great music you're listening to is by Justin Nozick. Thanks to him for producing that music for us. You've been listening to the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. Make sure to check us out on all of our social media. We are at Benchwarmers TP.